So this is a video just to show you how to get the Expense Manager code sample up and running on your own local environment with your own Office 365 tenant. The first thing you're going to want to do is actually download this from zip. So if I just click download on zip here, and I'm just going to do a file save as and just dump it to a temp location, just click save. And that'll actually go and save that locally here. Once that's downloaded, essentially all you need to do is right click on it and just extract it. And that will just give you all of the content from that zip file that's in that GitHub repo. Now, when we open this solution, you're going to require Visual Studio 2013 with Update 3 installed on that machine. The tools are actually available on the blogs.office.com blog. You'll notice that there's a most recent article here which talks about that, which is the Office 365 API tool for Visual Studio. And it has links directly to where everything can be downloaded and instructions on how to install that on your machine. Now, you should be able to just do a build directly from there, and that will just start building that solution, and you shouldn't get an error there. And if you do, you just need to do Control Shift B again, and that will just kick through the new Get packages and realize that they're already installed as part of this download. So now, in terms of that, you're almost ready to go. But to configure this app to actually run, it needs to know about the context of its location. So in the GitHub example at the bottom here in the page, you'll see some getting started. Now, the first thing we'll need to do is there's a WSP that we need to install into our SharePoint environment. So that WSP is just located here, the Expense Tracker Site Template. All that's going to do is create a few lists within a site collection we need. So all I need to do is go over to Settings and go Site Settings. And then inside the Web Designer Galleries, all I want to do is upload this solution package into my solution gallery. Just go Upload Solutions. I'm going to pick that WSP from that project folder. Just click OK. And then from here, all I'm going to do is activate it. And that essentially will make that site template available when I go to create subsites. So when I go into site contents down here in the bottom left, in the quick launch, and I scroll here and go new subsite, what you'll see in my custom section is there's an expenses site template. And all that expenses site template has in it is a few lists that we use in this application. We decided it was quicker just to get this thing going through a declarative sandbox solution, i.e. we built the site in one instance and then just save as site template. So I'm just going to go ahead and create there. And that will create the URL of my site within my site collection where I want the expenses data to be stored that my standalone AngularJS website will actually access and create new employees and new expenses. So that's going ahead and working on that. If I go back to the instructions here, once you've actually created that site, the next steps is really in depth on creating the Azure AD instance. So essentially in these instructions, and this is very similar to the research project sample that is also in GitHub that we've shared with you, that Andrew Connell talked about in the previous video, is we do need an Azure subscription, we do need an Office 365 tenant, and you must have your Office 365 tenant linked to your Azure subscription. And your Office 365 tenant must have a site collection, which we've actually just created a expenses site within it. And you must grant that person the ability to create lists and libraries and create, edit, delete items within lists. So I need to go into my management portal. So what I need to do here, and this can be used as references, examples of the values we're going to use as we fill this thing out. But if I go into the management portal here, I'm already authenticated into Office 365 with my administrator account. Now, what that's going to mean is that because I'm logged in with my administrator organizational account, that is Azure Active Directory. So when I hit the management portal, it knows that I'm actually logged in with my administrator account for Office 365 with Active Directory. And it knows that in the background, there is actually an Azure Active Directory instance running that my Office 365 is using. So if you go to the Azure website, you'll be able to see that there's details on Active Directory pricing. There are two streams of Active Directory, 3 and Premium. Premium is going to allow you to do all sorts of clever bits and pieces like multi-factor authentication and allow you to do a bunch of other bits and pieces. But for the purposes of your tenant, if you're a developer, you can actually connect this up and sign up for the Azure AD that's tied to your Office 365 developer tenant, or maybe you're using a different setup, maybe you're using a site collector within your production tenant. But I wouldn't recommend developing these kind of applications directly into a production Office 365 tenant, because you have to create Azure Active Directory applications where you'll be able to create these client IDs in there. So you really do need a developer tenant setup for these applications to be built. So you'll see that I can sign out, which I really don't want to do, but what I want to do is I want to actually sign up for Windows Azure, and all that's really going to do is it's going to click through and allow me to register my Azure AD instance that's sitting in Azure and hook up to the management portal using this Office 365 tenant administrator organizational account. So I'm just going to log in again. You can see here I'm using admin@appsdemous.microsoft.com, which is your organizational account. I'm just going to click sign in. And you can see here it's pulled through some of that information, and it's going to ask me to allow me to verify via sending a text message. So I'm just going to do that, but I'm going to pause the video because I really don't want all of you guys ringing me all at once, because I know you all want to speak to me. So let me just pause the video quickly, and I'll resume once I've got that. So once that's verified, it'll tell you that it's completed at the top here. And now it has to ask for payment information, and it has to be a valid credit card. This is just another way that Microsoft identify you as an actual human being, as well as a mobile verification. But as I mentioned, as long as in this Azure tenant, all you do is use the Azure AD component, you'll never actually get any charges on your credit card for use. So again, I'm going to fill out this information based on what I have for my tenant, and then I'll agree on this, and essentially I'll sign up for this particular tenant. So in the purpose of the time, I've actually got another tenant here which is already set up with Active Directory, which I'm going to use for the rest of this demonstration, but I did want to highlight the sign up process so you guys could see that. Essentially what I'm going to do is I'm using a tenant called fakey.sharepoint.com, which is one of my demonstration tenants. And as you can see, when I go to my site's expenses, you'll see that in the SharePoint list, I have those various lists and libraries that were provisioned previously. So I want to be able to basically set up my standalone web application, which I've downloaded, and configure a few things that are in that setup instructions. So I'm going to need to change in my project this tenant to actually be the URL of where my site is. And you'll notice that I didn't put this in its own site collection. I just made this a sub-site. Doesn't matter where it is, as long as it's a valid URL. So that's the correct URL to the API layer within that site. And then the other bits you need to change is in the web.config. So in the web.config, I need to go and get the Azure Active Directory client ID and password. And I also need to add in my tenant URL here, which is just essentially the resource ID, but I need the actual URL of where the SharePoint site is as well. Now, that obviously these could differ, because I might not always put those in the root site collection, it might be somewhere else. So in purposes of this demonstration, that's what I need to add. The rest of the web.config is can actually remain the same. You don't need to make any more changes in there. It's all kind of fine for the purposes of this sample. So I'm just going to save that as it is, because I actually need to go away and get this. Now, if I go to GitHub here and go to the sample, and I go into this README here, what you'll see down the bottom here is that once I've uploaded that SharePoint setup, I'm going to need to log into the management portal, go to Azure Active Directory, and jump into the directory. And then I'm going to need to go into applications and need to create a new application. So I'm going to do that now. So this is my Azure Active Directory that's linked. If I go into the Active Directory, and you can have more than one in here, you'll see that there's a tab there called Applications. And if I click on there, you'll notice I actually have quite a few of these already for various other Office 365 apps that I've demonstrated as part of this. I'm going to go down here and I'm just click add down the bottom. And you've got three options. Add an application my organization is developing, add an application from the gallery, publish an application that will be accessible from outside your network. So essentially in the instructions here, you'll see that I just need to pick web application or web API. It doesn't actually give... So you see from the instructions here, I need to select add an application you're developing. So I'm just going to click on add application is developing. I need to give it a name. So I'm going to give this a name of expenses demo. And I need to select web application and or web API. I would select native client application if I was choosing something like using the Android native development side with the SDK. Just click next. Now I need to give it the sign-on URL. So in here you'll see that the sign-on URL is essentially localhost colon 58000. If I go over to my project and select the web application and go to my properties, which I'll pin, you'll actually see that's that URL, which essentially is the URL that when I F5, what my application is going to run under. So just to paste that there. Now, your app ID URI has to be unique for this, and we've used that here. So essentially what they've done is we will use... that there is our unique URI. So I'm just going to put that in. And you'll see that it will validate, so I can now tick OK, and that will actually go and create that application. If you follow steps again, essentially all that's done now is registered my application, but I do need to configure it. So I need to come in and actually click configure. So you see it's captured a lot of this information. There's my client ID. So I can immediately grab that, copied, and I can go and put that in my web.config where it says the client ID. And it's going to use that client ID when it immediately goes and tries to authorize the use of this web application to call back to Office 365 APIs with Azure AD. But it also, Azure AD is also going to ask for a password. Now the passwords are created here in the keys, and I can decide whether a 1 or 2 year lease is enabled. But you'll notice that the password isn't shown until I save it. So I need to click down here and click save. What that'll do is that'll update my UI in a moment, and you'll see a password in this box. There you go. Which I can then copy, and I can immediately go and paste it directly into that link. Now, one thing to bear in mind is, as soon as I finish this demonstration, I'm actually going to go into here and I'm going to delete this application. Because effectively, with this client ID and password, you can actually do a fair amount of stuff with that in that environment. Obviously, you need to be signed in, but it does give you the ability that once you have signed in with one person in the organization with this ID and password, you can impersonate that application directly into that tenant from anywhere with that key. I.e., you'd need my password for my tenant administration to log in again to be able to get into the environment, but then you can impersonate with this app. So those credentials are fairly sensitive in your organization. Once you've done that, what you also need to do is actually tell it what you want the application to have. So on the bottom here, you'll notice that by default, you get permissions to enable sign-on and read user profiles. But what I also want to do is get access to SharePoint to get access to that expenses site. So I need to come in here and I need to say I want to read and edit and delete items. I actually want to create items that list as well, because I actually want to create employees and different bits as well. Now you might just want to go crazy for the purpose of the demo and click all three. And you'll see in here we only ask for those three. And then what I'm going to do here is I'm just going to click save. Now, you'll see here in the example here that we then gone away and given you instructions to make those changes and also to change that indexed HTML. Now, with all that configured, essentially now, when I F5 this and I'm going to go into Chrome where I'm already logged into this particular tenant in this browser session, it'll launch that local host and you'll see it bounce over to Azure AD, passing that client AD and secret, and then it will bounce back when I click login. So in the URL, when I click login, essentially it'll go away and it'll automatically be logged in. They'll be pulling that data. Now you may say, well, that's a pretty demo. Maybe it's not working. But if I go into that list and I go into the employees, and maybe I go into Dan, who is one of the authors here, and we make his title Daniel. Let me call him Daniel here. And if I click save, and then if I refresh in here, and we look for Dan, I believe he might be on the third page, you'll see that we have a Daniel Walling now, and we actually have a Dan Walling, and I believe that's because Dan, who was developing, actually had himself in as Danny, and also had himself in as Dan at the top here. So there's this three Dans, Dannys, and there's Danny there as well. So I can change that back to just to prove that that isn't just smokes and mirrors. We'll actually change that back to Jeremy. We'll change him here to Jeremy. And if I refresh now, and I go to my third page, you'll see that Jeremy's not there anymore, and Jeremy's actually down here, Jeremy Wallin. So it is pulling that dynamically there, and you can see, you know, the goodness that we're not getting page reloads when it's pulling that data through. If I did a search up here for Jeremy, it's automatically, if I type my name right, automatically pulling through my records. And if I look into my record, it'll automatically refresh, and it will show me the expense data here for me. 1,200 mils on the 5th of August for dev intersections. That's going to be a pretty big mil if I'm doing that in Las Vegas. But we'll see how we go when we're in Vegas. I'm sure I'll enjoy it. So that's just a simple way of just showing that up and running. Now, if I delete this application now, click yes, what do we think is going to happen? Well, effectively that application is removed now. So I'm just going to, just for the purposes of this exercise, close that application and shut this down. And then I'm going to start him back again. And we'll click login. So it's already logged in as myself, because I'm logged in as my administrator inside my SharePoint within this browser session. But you'll see now that the authentication failed exception has occurred. So yes, we should probably be doing some exception handling here to make sure that this doesn't happen and show a friendly error message in the ASP.NET page. But it's just a good example to show you that that application can be maintained at the governance level to be blocked at this level, and obviously you can modify the permissions there as well. So hopefully that's a good idea about how to set this application up and see it running. A lot of the code actually from the authentication is in the SharePoint auth.cs, and we will get Dan to do a more detailed granular explanation of exactly what's going on in here. But if you created a brand new application that connected up to SharePoint, what you would actually see is typically this context, the discovery context, last logged in user, and you would see these variables. And what you'll notice is in the get access token, that's a common piece of code that you'll see inside the samples we do. And really the only tricks that we're doing here is that we get the session token, we get the access token from the session, because what this discovery context does is actually store in the session keys based on a key, which is the SharePoint resource ID and this merged together, which you'll see here, the token object. So it's going to go and call that based on that. And the reason we do have this method here is that on the Angular client side, the main part of the logic here is in our handlers, we have a web proxy where we call this proxy to process the request. So our Angular is essentially passing to this server-side web proxy the REST URL to call. We are then injecting the access token and creating that HTTP request and then returning the result back. Now, the reason we do that is because in our expense app, if we have a look in the services at the data service, the employee SharePoint service here, when we're building out the URLs to, for instance, get the employees and the expenses here, you'll see that we're building out the URL with a base list URL for expenses with a title, and we're passing for a query to get certain fields back and doing some ordering. We can't call that URL directly because the Office 365 APIs do not support calls across origin resource services. So essentially what we're doing is we're passing it to a server-side service that we control in a generic way, and we're just asking it to process the request, and we just add to the request that access token that we found when we called the get session token. So it's a very common pattern that you can use to maintain your Angular stuff here, but then use this server-side service to kind of broker that callback to the Office 365 APIs. So hopefully that will allow you to get started with Angular using Office 365. There is another great sample there inside GitHub called the research project. And that has another video which explains in more detail on channel 9 around the authentication flow as well. But this is really just to kind of show you how to get going. This one actually includes an Outlook and a Word app as well. So you can get the idea of how to use the Office 365 APIs against those as well. So hopefully that's helped, and we'll definitely be pumping more samples out there. A big thank you for Dan Wallen for writing this one and making it look nice and pretty and Angular on the client side. And any feedback, please jump on the Office 365 technical network and submit your ideas and your suggestions for future sessions and samples.